Welcome to our program entitled Values, Virtues, Ethics and Morality. My name is Magla Pillay, and today I have the pleasure of interviewing Sister Denise, who has been practicing Raja Yoga meditation with the Brahma Kumaris for several decades. The format of our show is one of Socratic dialogue, and we will be taking up a variety of subjects that are related to morals and ethics. For those of you who want to know what Socratic dialogue means, I'll have to read it to you. It's a philosophical method of systematic doubt and questioning of another to elicit a clear expression of a truth supposed to be knowable by all rational beings. Now, this is the format that this show will take. We will be questioning some of the world's conventional views on values and ethics. We will analyze and dialogue these topics in order to attain greater insight, even uncover new foundations as to how we formulate our own value system. Everyone we find is concerned about doing the right thing, and paradoxically we have found that, and perhaps you have as well, that most people end up making wrong decisions and doing things that are against their conscience. We will also be investigating as to why this is so. So, Sister Denise, very warm welcome to today's show. Let us start with the topic of the origins of ethics and morality. Where do you think it has all started?
I think that there are two views of time. One is that we're progressing, we're becoming more and more civilized, more and more ethical. And the other is, which is a kind of more ancient idea, that we used to be much more pure, and gradually we lost that. And I think that we need to look at that idea. When the great religions of the world began, they began in a way as a response to this problem of human suffering, the problem of evil, the problem of people doing bad things. And so part of the work of the religions was to correct that. So I think it started back then, which is, you know, 2,000 to 3,000 years ago.
Is this something that happened in society that caused people to come together, the great religious leaders, in order to create a system that governed humanity?
Well, if you look at the old texts and scriptures, you definitely see that people are preoccupied with this question. So although it's not made clear that something definite took place, on the other hand, you can see that people were preoccupied by it in such a way that they actually laid the foundation of society's norms around that period of time. So we can assume that something may well have happened, but otherwise it's not generally specifically known.
It all started because there was a need to govern human thinking, human behavior, human will, and the way humanity functioned as a whole.
You know, in ancient times, the kings used to decide on any kind of dispute, but I think that somehow they needed to formalize systems of laws, systems of morals, systems of ethics, and then the intelligentsia of the culture of the time started to do this, and this then became the origins of our moral philosophy.
And so the question that I have for you now is that when the system was set up to govern human conduct then, did it actually work at the time? Is that why it was perpetuated?
I think it must have worked. I think, of course, human population was smaller, and I think things were in a way more manageable. I think subsequently it became very much more complex, and in some ways what we find today is that the systems of the ancient times have changed, or the way people apply them seem to have changed. It's become very rigid, and this is why I think we need to relook at it, because I think it's not working anymore.
And why would you say that?
You know, there's an assumption about people that they know naturally how to do the right thing. And that assumption, when people have this within themselves, a natural mercy, a natural sense of right and wrong, when that is not messed up, then it works. But I think some things have happened in wartime, in extreme situations in society, which have somehow messed it up to a point where we can no longer rely on that.
Okay. Now, obviously, humanity got something out of creating a sense of ethics and morals in the bygone era. What did they actually get out of it? Because you look at what the world has become today. People question. People delight in breaking their morals and ethics and everything that our forefathers have held dear. Every single value system we have is simply being shattered. So what did humanity get out of it then, and how did it help? It must have helped. That's why it stood the test of time.
I think when a person does the right thing, there's a resonance, there's a feeling inside, there's a feeling among the people around that, yeah, this is the right thing. There's feedback, and this is what gives people the sense that, yeah, I am, you know, I'm lined up with righteousness, I'm lined up with what God stands for or the divinity stands for, I am lined up with the higher quality of humanity, and this is what makes them feel good when they get that feedback.
If you look at all the various kinds of people on Earth, the various religions on Earth, it seems that every single subculture has their own set of ethics and morals. Do you think that it's possible for all 7 billion of us to subscribe to one set of ethics and morals?
No, I don't. And the reason I don't is because of the long history that has caused people to arrive at the particular set of ethics and morals that they have. And then who can say, well, my way is better than all the other ways? In fact, that has been tried many times, but it's never been accepted.
So what then, if somebody is going through a personal crisis when he realizes that he does not have a problem, but he or she actually is the problem, and so they re-looking at their own set of their own value system and realize that this is not working for me anymore, although it did work for my great-grandfather, my grandfather, and my father, what should a person in such a situation do?
I think that when a person comes into a personal crisis, they generally don't look at it as the values and ethical system that I have been handed down is no longer working. I really don't think they look at it like that. They rather generally look at, I have a problem. They might point the finger at something which could even include the value system that was handed down. But in order for a person to realize, okay, I am the problem, then they have to really become like deeply honest with their conscience. So I think that there is inside every human being a sensitivity to right and wrong, which has now become at odds with the existing ethical and moral systems, and that it's very difficult for people to sorted out because they don't have a reference point.
And what should a person do if they're aware that the way they are doesn't work for them anymore?
Well, when a person gets to that point, they generally have to sort of give up trying to control everything, realizing that they can't control anything. And generally, what very often happens is they kind of give up and turn over to some kind of higher energy, saying, help, I can no longer navigate my life. And they look to God or a higher energy. A lot of people at this time have found that the conventional religions have failed them. And so this is a very big crisis, because then where do people turn? They have to turn to the divine, but then that's very subtle and that's very difficult for people to connect with.
I like the expression that you use, that people find it difficult to navigate their lives, because I think there's a larger percentage than people wish to personally acknowledge who find themselves in that position. Navigation involves a compass. It involves the North Star. In spiritual terms, is there such a thing?
I think there is. The North Star, or the Pole Star, is a star which doesn't move. All the other stars are moving around, and because something is fixed, the people at sea in particular, they can find their ways. Now, in spiritual terms, if you look at the conventional religions, they vary one to the other. There are many, many common points, common concepts, so that there is plenty of opportunity for consensus, but there are also so many variations that it's not really realistic to expect people to find one agreed way of looking and one agreed reference point. But I think beyond religion, you have actually God or the divine itself. And if you can connect with that, if you can use that as your moral compass, then I think you have something that corresponds to the pole star, yes.
We will take that subject up further and under a different topic. When somebody who has an interest in whatever it is that you're sharing is looking at his own sense of values, ethics, morals, there is usually some or another pain or trauma involved, which initiates the introspection in the first place. And how then, or what rather, would your advice be to somebody who is going through a traumatic period and who realizes that that instead of making some external changes, the changes has to be internal? What would your advice be to such a person?
I think it's not always the case that it's trauma that produces this, but very often it happens as a person is entering into their adult life. They find that the way they're thinking is at odds with the way they grew up, the way they were raised, and they also find that their thinking is at odds with the way the world is, because the world in many ways is not a very comfortable place. There's a lot of negativity out there in the world. And the way that people were raised to expect certain standards in the world, when they go out there, they find that it is sometimes totally the opposite. This creates confusion inside, and in a way that is traumatic, because then they have to completely reset and figure out their own personal philosophy, that how do I do this? Because what I was told as a child growing up is a fairy tale. And so do I
become an idealist? That's not very practical. Do I become bad like everybody else? Is that going to be selling my soul? It is a very big question that comes to people in their early adult life a lot.
There will be many young people watching the show who will resonate with what you just said. And when one takes a glimpse at what the world has become, and you see so many people who's around you who do not have standards, who have standards less than you, there's sometimes a compulsion to abandon your own standards. Okay, because it's not even just a question of peer pressure, but a question arises: why should I bother? Why should I be honest when everyone else around me is dishonest and they get away with it? So young people facing that crisis of faith or a turning point in their lives would need a good reason to not abandon their own sense of values. What would your response be to such a person?
When we're looking at things from a spiritual angle, we're looking at a much longer time span. And we're also looking at the whole subject of the philosophy of karma, because that is very much connected with any inquiry into moral philosophy. If you're coming from a materialistic angle, then your time span is very short, one lifespan, or within that one, you know, few years. So people look at action and reaction, what happens to, you know, people who do bad things get away with it, but they don't see in the longer term. In the longer term, according to the philosophy of karma, you can't get away with anything. And so I think that when we begin to bring in the idea of spiritual laws and look at things in terms of the longer lifespan of action-reaction, then you have a very good reason to go according to your principles and ideals of correct action. That's the big difference.
Would you say to somebody who has got a fairly good quality of life, who has a balanced life, who's neither too idealistic or too blasé about what the world has become, who has a sense of whose ethics and morals work for him, what would you say to such a person who's still adhering to what we called old school values? Okay, how would such a person be motivated to rethink things?
Well, I think as long as everything is working for that person, they wouldn't have a reason to rethink. But what I feel is many people, they're moving along in a rather narrow, almost like a bubble, and very protected because of their social status and so on and so forth. And maybe all of a sudden they become aware of something that they had been sheltered from, and this then becomes a reason to rethink and relook, because maybe nothing is happening to you personally, but for example, you start to become aware that certain incorrect behaviors according to the laws of spirituality have resulted in climate change, for example, which is causing a lot of bad things to happen to a lot of people, and you start becoming impacted by this because the world that you, or the way the world is not the way that you think it is. There's a disconnect, and that starts being a good reason to say, well, I'm okay, but other people are not okay, and that actually is something that is important to me, because I can't just be in my blinders that would be in a way irresponsible, it would be too narrow-minded, it would be a kind of being in denial, you see, because the things that are happening on such a broad scale, everyone is somehow implicated, somehow involved, and so this really obliges us to think, you know, what is really happening?
So, Denise, if one looks at morals and ethics, what I find curious is at various times in humanity, what used to be wrong is now right, then it becomes wrong again, then it becomes right. What is it about time that causes that to shift?
I think it may not necessarily be about time, but it's about the dominant group in any given culture. So whoever is the dominant group, they rule in that region or those countries or that part of the world. And so they have ideas which correspond to their interests. And a point comes when their interests are not in the interest of people, the earth, something. There'll be some sort of a clash, and then they will have to enforce their views which correspond to their interests in spite of negative consequences. And this is where it starts to become something you really have to think about.
Sister Denise, you mentioned the North Star earlier. You mentioned navigation. Could you say more about that? Because I don't think many people see it that way. For many people, they're not even a captain of their own ship. There's somebody else behind the wheel. So whether you're an adult or child, ethics and morality, values and virtues is important to every individual on the planet, whether they realize it or not. So here's someone listening to the show, and they're inspired to navigate their lives in a fresh manner that becomes more workable for them and for people around them. What words of advice do you have for such a person?
You know, people have been receiving, like received wisdom from their parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, and so on. It goes back. And all of a sudden, it doesn't gel anymore. And this is what I think the big issue is that when we go back to someone, a human being, who decided this and this is right, this and this is wrong, I have my moral and ethical philosophy, I am the leader in my community, I'm the king, I am the president, whatever, and this then starts to get handed down. It becomes the culture. But it has, we can say, a human source. Now, the star, the North Star, the Pole Star, the point of reference, what we need at this time is to realize that the human sources have slowly lost their purity, lost their power, and the ethics and morality that goes back to a human source has also become eroded and corroded. And so what we need to find is a source which is stable, which is not changeable. The human nature is that it declines in quality, and we need to go back to what I would call a divine source, which remains stable as our reference point.
That's actually a beautiful note on which to end. For those of you who are interested in that last answer, we will be taking the subject up further under another topic. But Sister Denise, thank you very much for your very interesting and intellectually stimulating answers on today's show. We thank you for joining us in this Socratic dialogue, and we hope that you are able to take this conversation further with your friends, your colleagues, and your families. And I hope you think further about your own morals and ethics, virtues and values, and where you stand in respect of yourself and the people around you. Thank you very much for joining us in today's show, and we hope to see you again.